And we started to discuss in Parshas Vayikra, we are introduced to the Karbanos. And what's interesting is, when you look at the Karbanos, the way the Torah lays out the Karbanos, it seems to be slightly out of order. Because if I was writing the Torah and I was describing the Karbanos, I would have started first with the Karban Chatos, or the Asham. First discuss when we sin, when we do something wrong, and then we can discuss the Karban Oil. The Karban Oil we know was brought presumably for not doing any Aveira. It was just because you want to grow closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, if anything, it should have been last. First, let's clean up our mistakes. Let's deal with what we've done wrong. And then we can deal with, extra credit. Why did the Torah reverse the order? So, Nissen Alpert in his Sefer points out a beautiful idea. Says of Nissen Alpert, because the Torah is telling us, how do you avoid having to bring a Karban Chatos? What can we do in life to ensure that we're not going to have to bring the Chatos later on? So he explains, if you bring a Karban Oilo, if you reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu first, and you try to do what we call Asei Toiv, and not just Sor Meira, you're looking for ways to build a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that will help you down the road from having to one day perhaps bring a Chatos. When a person works on himself to build a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that could prevent him from one day needing to bring a Karban Chatos. So the order of the Torah is correct. First the Torah has the Oilo. First the Torah says, how do you connect to me so you don't one day need to bring a Karban Chatos or deal with sinning down the road? Rabbi Sabalovsky pointed out in his Chumash, which I urge everyone to listen to. I don't know if anyone listens to it. It's very short. It's like usually under 5 minutes, but it's always fantastic. He always has such deep insight, I find. And he makes the following observation about the Parsha. He says, if you think about it, why do you have to bring a Karban for a Shoygig? You're a mistake. We live in a world today, if you make a mistake, people understand. Mistakes happen. Pencils have erasers, right? Mistakes are common. No one is held accountable for a mistake, unless there was negligence. So Karban Chatos for a Shoygig was, we spoke about this actually, was very much in last week's shiur, but it's presumably to be that there was no major negligence. I made a mistake. I didn't know this was this. I didn't know that was that. So why the need for a Karban? So we quote from Rabbi Chana Wasserman, and Rabbi Chana Wasserman points out is that we don't realize that when we do a sin, albeit accidentally, it has an impact on us. It's metamtim alev. It affects our neshama. It affects our being. The fact that I ate a macholas asuris, even if it was accidentally, that goes into my veins and changes who I am. So we need a Karban just to change our new reality. Because an Aveira changes our etzem metzias. It changes who we are. It changes what we are. It changes our inner workings. And therefore we need a Karban just to fix that. And he brought a very beautiful mashal, sadly. But he said, if there's ever a time in the history where we as a nation can realize that something can affect us without seeing it, it's the coronavirus. No one actually sees it, but we all know the impact of it. Anyone who never has been affected by this can know what it knows good and well. What does it mean to be infected? You can't point to it, you can't see it, you can't touch it, but you know that it affects one's well-being. So he says, same thing with an Aveira. We don't think about it, but when a person does an Aveira b'shoigig, it changes who we are, it affects who we are. We can't see it. You don't need to see it, because we live in a world today, there's plenty of things that we don't see, and we know the very, very strong impacts they have on our well-being. There's a famous var from the Baron Cutler in the beginning of the parasha. The Baron Cutler quotes a famous medrash, that the medrash tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu showed and expressed his anivus. Now the Mefarshim point out that the only time the Torah ever discusses someone's greatness is usually in relation to anivus. When the Torah describes someone as great, it's not because he's a big Talmud Chacham, it's not because he finished Shas and Poiskim. When the Torah describes greatness, it's always defined by anivus. When the Torah talks about Moshe's greatness, it's not Moshe Rabbeinu was great because he was Malame Torah Lama Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was great because he was an Adam Mikol Adam. As we find the small Aleph in this week's parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu's small Aleph is referencing his anivus. He felt that he doesn't deserve to walk into the Oyel Moed on his own. He needed to be invited. So the Medrash tells us, "Kol Talmud Chacham she'ein ba das, any Talmud Chacham that has no das, nevela toiva himena, a dead carcass is better than him." So Rabbi Aaron Cutler explains that this Medrash is telling us is not just what we all know of derech eretz kadmon l'Torah. Yeah, you have to have derech eretz. Says Rabbi Aaron Cutler, without derech eretz, without midas, you have nothing. It's not just a question of kadmon l'Torah, before or after? What comes first? Points out about Kala, without Derech Eretz, the Talmud Chacham that has no Derech Eretz is useless, is worthless. Nevela Toive Men, we'd rather have a dead carcass because you have no value in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The whole godless of Moshe Rabbeinu was his anivus. And that's what we're supposed to try to be like Moshe Rabbeinu, try to be his midas. Halavai, we can get this Madrega in Torah, but we really should try to be like his idea of midas, the appreciation and realization of who we are. And if there's ever a time in history where we realize that we're not in control and we're humbling ourselves, it's this time in history. The Aruch HaShulchan, we've quoted very often in the Halacha Shurim. The Aruch HaShulchan we know was a dayan in the Vardik, famous dayan, the Aruch HaShulchan. In the opening pages of Hilchos Pesach, take a look, he has a beautiful drush. And he explains the following. He's bothered with the kasha. Why is Nisan the first month? We know that Chodesh Nisan is called the first month. He wants to know, why was Nisan the first month? The Chayre Tishrei should be the first month. Secondly, asks the Aruch HaShulchan, Akasha, which we spoke about in the past, why was the Mishkan put up in the month of Nisan? Why was the Mishkan put up in the month of Nisan? It was completed in Kislev. So why was it put up in Nisan? And thirdly, the other question, which no one ever complains about, is we all know we don't say Tachan in the whole month of Nisan. But the question is why? Once Pesach is over, why don't we say Tachlin in the rest of the month? So Aruch HaShulchan comes up with the following idea. The Aruch HaShulchan explains is that the Mitzriim, although they were losing the entire time, and they were being pummeled by the Makkos, Paris said to himself, it's not over yet. We just got to survive into Nisan. And once we make it into Nisan, it's all going to change. Why? Because the Mazel, the zodiac of Nisan, was the Tleh, was the sheep. And that was the Mitzriim's god. So Paro kept on telling himself, don't worry, we're going to have it rough now, but once we get into Nisan, it's all going to change. And what happened when they got into Nisan? Nothing changed. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, the month of Nisan is the realization of Ein Oid Milvadoi. There's no other being, there's no other power in this world besides for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, that's why Nisan is the first month. Because Nisan was the month that taught Paroi, and I'll add, it taught us as well as a nation, that Ein Oid Milvadeh, there's no one else in this world, there's no zodiacs, there's no mazalois, no one else in this world has any power to control this world besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, says the Aruch HaShulchan, the whole month of Nisan is special. The whole month of Nisan is special because the whole month of Nisan was the lesson to the world that no one else runs this world besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think it's very apropos to what we've been discussing till now. That's anivus. A humble person realizes he's not in control. If this virus brought us anything or any message to all of us, it was that we don't run this world. Many of us had a lot of plans scheduled for these past couple of weeks and for the following weeks. And all those plans are now no longer going to be relevant. Why? Because we don't run the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. So the month of Nisan is goof of the month of when the world and us as Yidden realize, Ein Oy Milvadeh, there's no one else besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's anivus. Humbling means you realize you're not in control. Moshe Rabbeinu could have thought to himself, what do you mean? If anyone has access to the Oil Might, it should be me. Moshe Rabbeinu said to himself, I have no access to the Oil Might because who am I? HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. Just like we mentioned by Noach. Noach didn't leave the Teva until he was told to go. Why? So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz points out that's anivus. Anivus means you do what you're told and you don't question it. And that's what we're trying to grapple with now in our lives. We're trying to figure out what we're supposed to do with our lives, and the answer is we don't know. The answer is whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us to do is basically what we're going to follow. But I just want to add one more nekuda which struck me this past Friday, and I want to mention it. We know Chazal tell us the Mishnah Novos, Ashloisha Dvarim Oilim Oime. The world stands on three things. Three pillars to which the world stands. Torah, Va'avoid, and Gemilas Chasadim. If you look at the situation that we're in now as a Jewish nation, being quarantined, I'd have to say that those three things are the three things that have been hit the most. Torah, our yeshivas have been closed. Avoida, our shuls have been closed. And Gemilas Chasadim, we can't even invite people to our homes for Shabbos meals or to help out each other. The three pillars to which the world stands are the three pillars that we've just been limited to. So this should really scare us all. Because if the Chazal tell us that the world rests on these three pillars, what happens when we can't fulfill these three pillars? So I believe the answer is that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking of us is to figure out ways to continue these three pillars despite our limitations that are put on us. Like we're doing now, we're learning Torah even though we don't have our regular shiur room and our regular availability. Avoida, we're learning to daven b'yichidus in our homes even without our shuls. And Gemilas Chasadim is we have to find ways to do chesed even though we can't do it in the general normal way. which is why we have every shul, I'm sure, has a Moss Chitin appeal. And this year, I'm sure everyone knows that there are people that need it this year perhaps more than other years. So it's a way for us to be able to do chesed and keep the world standing, even if we can't give the money into a person. You could write in a check, you could do Zelle. There's a lot of ways to give money to your shul that's collecting. And I'm sure all of your shuls are collecting. And if none of you have a shul that's collecting, my shul is collecting, and I have people that are collecting, and I know people that need. But it's just amazing how we can keep the world running, even though we're being limited in these three pillars. Our Torah is being affected, our Avodah is being affected, our Gemilas Chasadim is being affected, but nonetheless, we're going to continue to have these three things run, because they have to run. Because if Chas V'Shalom, these three things stop to run, then the world stops to run. So it's our job during this difficult time to find ways, creative ways, to ensure that the three pillars of the world still continue, and in that chos, that the three pillars are still continuing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will continue the running of the world, and Mitzvah Hashem, in this chos of our learning today, in this chos of all the learning, and all the ways that people are trying to be creative with coming up with ways to keep the world going, Mitzvah Hashem, it should bring brachas v'yeshuas to all of Klal Yisrael.
Okay, Rabbi, before you start, one quick thing.
Sure.
Being that the Rabbi wasn't able to mute their phones, we ask everyone to please mute their phones, because there's a lot of background noise. We avoided, the double, at least I don't hear a double sound. I don't know if anyone else does, but please mute your phones.
Okay. I'm going to try one more time if I can mute everyone, and if not, we're going to just start the show. Okay, of course it's not working. Okay. I need my daughter to wake up to show me how to do it. Okay. Okay, Rabbi said, today's shir should be, our learning today should be a zchus refuah shleima for all Chal Yisrael, for Pera Yentl Bas. David, I lost the other half of the name, so if you remember it, Pera Yentl Bas. David Pollack, oh, he's muted. Where's David? David?
Shana Rivka now.
Peril Yenta Bas? Anyone know the end of it? My kids ripped up my paper, so I'm half a paper. David?
He's not there anymore.
Peril Yenta Bas?
He's not there anymore.
I'm here.
Peril Yenta Bas? David? Peril Yenta Bas?
Brinda,
and the other name? I my kids ripped my paper.
Chaya
Rochel Nechama Bas Elta. Hudi Zisel. Okay. And, of course, B'serach Shachar Yisrael, all the others that are suffering in different forms of illnesses. Today's shiur, Rabbi said, we're going to discuss a very, very touchy topic. I'd like to thank Jeff Rohr for bringing this topic to my attention, but the truth is it was actually on my mind for personal reasons, because I have a sister of mine that was scheduled to get married on April 19th. I think she's still scheduled to get married, April 19th. Sunday after Pesach in Lakewood, in a Chasana hall in Lakewood. And obviously at this moment, the way things look now, she's not getting married in that wedding hall in Lakewood, because there's probably going to be at least a 50-person minimal, or at least a 10-person, maybe, I heard even now, maybe 10 people limitation. So there's really no reason to have a Chasana hall in Lakewood for 10 people. So the question that I was discussing with my father was is he going to get any of his money back that he already gave for a down payment to the hall? Jeff Rohr brought up to me a question that was relevant to him about rentals. Many people rented apartments in Eretz Yisrael this year, and they wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael to spend time with family. And obviously, no one is going. You can't go. There's no reason to go. The question is, all the people that had things planned, and there's really two ways of asking the Shaila. Those that have already paid for it, and those that have not paid for it, what is going to be the status of cancellations and contracts due to the coronavirus? Now, the truth is, like all our shiurim, but this one perhaps even more so, we are not going to come out with a halacha lemaisa. It's very complex, and definitely discuss it with a competent choshe mishpat knowing rav. This is not for a typical rabbi. You have to know someone who's really well-versed in choshe mishpat. But in Edom, when we get to our part two, we will see a halacha lemaisa from Rav Asher Weiss. He has a tshuva about this, Minchas Asher, Chelik Beisim, and Kuf Chaf. We'll get to it, Blineder, in our second part, which we'll have to discuss when exactly we're doing it. But in any case, we're going to discuss a little bit more of the lumdus behind it and a little bit of the halacha, but it is extremely complex. And I heard someone say that the Rabbanim haven't yet even dealt with this. I heard someone say b'shem Rabbi Willig, that Rabbi Willig said we're not even up to dealing with these shilos yet, because they're so complex and they're going to be extremely relevant and they're very, very detailed. The Rabbanim are dealing with other issues first, but you'll see literature. My wife showed me articles already that are coming out. It's very negated. Let's say, for example, seminaries that ended earlier, and schools, and day camp, and sleepaway camp. A lot of these shadows come up. So we're going to try to give a background to what are some of the issues. But again, halach l'maisa, if it is relevant to you, of course, because there's money at stake, it should be discussed with a competent rav who knows well choshe mishpat. There's two ways to go about dealing with this sugya. One way is the way most paiskim go, and that we'll do in our second part. That's called, there's such a svara based on the Mishnah B'Metzia called a makas medina. If there's something that affects the entire country, that's called a makas medina. When you have a makas medina, often the renter or the buyer has a right to say to the seller, it's your fault that this plague hit the city and I can back out. We'll discuss that with Lineda more next week. This week, I want to go a different angle. And this angle I thought of on my own, but I found later, and I'll give him the credit, a tshuva sefer written by Rabbi Avad Yosef's grandson. Rabbi Avad Yosef has a grandson named Avad Yosef Toledano. If I'm not mistaken, he's on Rabbi Asher Weiss's Bezdin in Eretz Yisrael. He's definitely a Talmud, close Talmud of Rabbi Asher Weiss. Rabbi Asher Weiss wrote a very glowing hakdama to his sefer that he wrote. He wrote a shalos and tshuva sefer called Eight Yosef. Beautiful, beautiful stuff. He doesn't write like his grandfather, because very few people can write like his grandfather, Rabbi Avad Yosef, but it's a fascinating read nonetheless. And he starts with a different angle, and this is the angle that I want to go with today. Because this is the angle that I originally thought of when I was asked this shaila. We all know that in order for a sale to go through, you have to have consent for both the buyer and the seller to buy or to sell a certain object. Now, we also know, and we've actually discussed this in our previous Gemara Shurim, that there's a famous concept in Halacha called Dvarim Shebelev Ein Dvarim. And this is where it's going to get interesting for those of you that are well-versed in civil law, and you can tell me if this works all the way in the secular world, but we know that there's something called Tanoim. If I want to make a sale on a condition, I have to specify the condition, and we also learned at length that there's something called Bnei Gad Bnei Ruvein, and you have to have rules of how you set up a Tanai. So we'll start with over here, source number one, is the Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara in Kiddushin tells us a story. Ahu Gavra, there was a man. There was a fellow who sold his house with intention of moving to Eretz Yisrael. He planned on making Aliyah, so he sold his house. He sold his house because he planned on moving to Eretz Yisrael. But at the time of the sale, he never told anyone why he's selling the house. In his heart, he was selling the house because he wanted to make Aliyah and be yaitz to the mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael and to live near his children and his grandchildren. But he never told anyone. He never specified why he was moving to Eretz Yisrael. And then the Gemara says, what happened was, it didn't work out. He moved to Eretz Yisrael and everything was a disaster. And now he wants to come back and buy his house back, or get his house back. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Havidvarm Shebelev, Udvarm Shebelev, Enidvarm. That doesn't count. He never told anyone. He never specified his intention. And because he never specified his intention, it was only merely what was in his heart. And we have a rule, Dvarim Shebelev Einem Dvar. So if you apply that to our case over here, and just to remind everyone, the Shaila that the Achrenim talk about predominantly, at least in the last 20 years, are not Shailas of coronavirus, but are Shailas that happened a lot in Eretz Yisrael over the last... since Hakamas HaMedina, was many times people rented homes in Eretz Yisrael for vacation, and it ended up happening that it was a war. War broke out, and missiles were flying overhead, and no one wanted to take the rental. That was a shiloh that Rabbi Asher Weiss talks about. That's a shiloh that Rabbi Avad Yosef's grandson talks about. People that rented apartments in Eretz Yisrael when there was no expected war, and then lo and behold, war breaks out, and now missiles are flying overhead, and now you say to yourself, I don't want this rental, I don't want an apartment, it's dangerous. So the question was, can you back out? Now we'll see, and we'll have to figure out, is that exactly the same thing as our case, where it's dangerous to have public settings, or the government doesn't allow us to have public settings? We'll have to try to break our head and figure that out. But we'll discuss the shiloh that they talked about, where people rented apartments, people rented chasana halls. That's the shiloh that many achronim talk about. Rabbi Asher Weiss talks about that, where someone rented a hall for a chasana, and then the chasana is not happening because there are rockets, and it's dangerous to go outside, and no one wants to go up to a chasana. So do you get your money back? So on one hand, you say to yourself, well, the Gemara tells over, if I don't specify clearly my intention, it's called Dvarim Shebelev, and Dvarim Shebelev, and Dvarim. But if we look carefully at Rashi number 2, Rashi says the following. Zok Rashi, Ube'idna dezavonoi amar, what didn't you say? You didn't say that daita lemesik mezavinina. You never spoke out, you never told the buyer that you should know, I'm selling this house because I plan to make aliyah. The ilu parish b'shas mechira. If you were to specify at the time of the sale, da daita lemesik mizavnina, that I implant. If you would have told the seller, you should know. By the way, you know why I'm selling my house? You know why I'm getting rid of my house in the five towns? Because I want to move to Eretz Yisrael. Because I love Eretz Yisrael and I want to live in Eretz Yisrael.
But that's not a condition. Oh, that's good. Just information.
Oh, and we're going to learn that there's three levels. There's condition. There's information. And there's knowable information. We'll break it down hopefully in a few minutes. Says Rashi, in such a case, loy have zvina, then the sale would actually be would be bottle. Da adaita dahochi loy zavin. She had darkan beloy karka, because I never would have intended to stay here without any land. So Rashi's telling us that it's really based on a Gemara later on, and it's recorded this way in Shulchan Aruch, that if I had any intention, if I at least notified you, I at least told you what was running through my mind, even though I never set it up as a formal condition, that would be enough to make the sale void and bottle. So we have an idea over here, according to Rashi, that when it comes to a sale, even I don't make it a tonight, I don't make it conditionary, but at least I let you know why I'm doing it. And if that falls through later, Zakti Gemara, I can make the sale bottle. And this is really a Mefurish Gemara on Daf Nun Amun Aleph Kedusha. I didn't photocopy it, but you should know it's a Mefurish Gemara on Daf Nun in Kedusha.
Is there any time restrictions? How long do you have to wait?
No, as long as I tell you what I wanted.
A year later, I wasn't able to do it, I can bottle the sale?
Yeah.
According to the statute of limitations.
Doesn't sound like it. As long as I notified the seller at the time of the sale why I'm doing it. Again, I never made a condition. It's amazing. This is not a condition. I just let the sale, I was schmoozing with the seller, Kalach Hayad, and I told him, by the way, he asks me, why are you selling your house? I tell him, I'm selling my house because I want to move to Eretz Yisrael to live with near my grandkids.
So, Rabbi.
Yes.
So, what about the buyer? Can he back out and say, well, I always knew there was a chance that you wouldn't sell it to me, so I made other arrangements to buy a better deal or a different deal that was different.
Okay, so we're going to talk about, is there a difference between a buyer and a seller? Blined, we'll get to that. If that's a machlokes rishonim, do all these things apply to a buyer and a seller, or is it only a one-sided experience? We'll get to that, Blined, hopefully a little later today.
One more thing.
Yes.
I hate to bother, but I don't know how to work so well enough. But could everyone please mute your phone? There's a lot of background noise.
I'm trying one more time. I don't know why they're not letting me be the host. They should be able to be posted. I tried a couple times to get them up. My daughter helped me last night get it going. I don't know why it's not going. It's in the email.
Email from Friday has both the first two pages.
Yes. And page three, you can act.
Friday.
Does everyone see that share screen that I just did over there?
Rabbi?
Yes.
Rabbi, if you go to participants.
Yes.
And go to the right where it says claim host.
I did that, Michael.
You gotta put in the code.
We don't have a code. That's why it's not working.
Give us a code?
No, we never had a code for this room. I tried that, but okay.
Michael. I don't have the code.
I don't either.
Michael, the code.
Okay, I'm sorry. I don't know why it's not going.
From the young Israel.
No, that's the meeting number.
You mean the password?
Yeah.
I apologize.
Do it themselves. We don't need to.
Yeah, right. We can self-mute. Okay.
Please, everyone just muted. It's very annoying.
Okay, back to the share, guys. So again, so this is the Gemara. And if you look in Shulchan Aruch, in the left side, for those of you who don't have the Maamar Kremes, hopefully I'll get it up soon. If you look at number two, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Choshe Mishpat Simen Reish Zayin. Misha Macha Chatzerei. Someone who sells his field, or his courtyard or his field, and he explains. He says at the time that I'm selling it, he tells the seller, you should know, I'm selling it to you because I plan on making aliyah. Or he tells him there's a problem with the rain. Shenimna, that's stopping me. The rain is throwing off my whole business over here. That's the same thing as if he sold it on condition. The fichach, therefore, let's say I sold property because I'm a farmer and my stuff is not growing. So I got to get out of here. So I sell. And all of a sudden now, the shemaim opens up and it rains beautifully. So now I say to myself, okay, I don't want to leave.
A year later. A year later.
Yeah, there's no time limitation. No time limitation. Now, this, I'm assuming this doesn't work in civil law, right, guys? All our lawyers and... those of us who know this, I'm assuming this doesn't fly in civil law. I'm assuming not. Any contractual agreements have to be somewhere in a contract, I'm assuming.
I defer to my elder
Barbusta David Pollock, because he's much older than me.
Well, there's something called a force majeure.
Okay.
Which is basically an act of God that's in most contracts.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, what is a force majeure? What qualifies as an act of God?
Uh-huh.
So it's typically earthquakes, hurricanes, things
certainly
like that.
Certainly not because you're moving to Israel and it falls
through. Right. Definitely not things... Definitely
certainly not if you're moving to Israel and it falls through.
Yeah,
that doesn't
exactly.
qualify.
Okay, good.
It has to be something that's completely beyond
God.
Your control. It's an act of nature.
So like coronavirus would be.
So that's a big question now, whether that is or whether it isn't, because it's never been confronted before. There's lots of litigation about that right now.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay, interesting.
Okay,
terrific. Thank you. That's very important. Okay, so let's continue. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Lefichach, Im Yard HaMot, if it starts to rain, Achash HaMachar, after the sale, Obo Chitim V'Huzalu, or then the sale price gets cheaper of the wheat. Oy Nimna HaDerech La'alois Lois Aretz. Or he changes the path changed. Oy Lo Nistayeh Lo La'alois, didn't allow him to travel. Oy Liknas HaChitim. Harei Zemach Zoloi HaDomim, he returns the money, V'tach Zoloi HaKarka, and he gets his land back. Why? Sharei Pirush, because he specified she'ena moicher el alas is davar pliny vare leinasa kain vare leinasa, says the Shulchan Aruch, like what we said again, it was never tenai, it was never conditioned, but since he spoke out, he specified what was in his mind, that is enough to make the sale bottle. Writes the Ramah, very important Ramah, Hagah the davka b'moicher karka oisav, this is only true if I'm selling property. But if I'm merely selling objects, then merely stipulating what was in your mind is not good enough. So the Ramah has an interesting knach over here. The Ramah says that even though I agree with the concept of the Mechaber, that sometimes all you need is what we call Giloy Das, you merely have to relay what was in your mind, but that does not work for all transactions. That only works for property. That does not work for objects. Let's say, for example, I sell you a phone. Oh, here's the question, why? And the question of why is going to be very relevant to our sugya. Because in our sugya, no one's selling anything. What are we doing in our sugya? We're doing rental, schiras. The question is, what's the halachic status of a schiras? Is a schiras like a mechira? Perhaps a schiras is a different type of a lamdas. But before we move on to that, can one make the argument, what is the Shulchan Aruch hold? What is the Shulchan Aruch hold? The Shulchan Aruch seemed to not make any distinction between metaltolin and karka. So the assumption would be that according to Rabbi Yosef Kairo, according to the Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't matter. Let's say, for example, I sold you a table because I thought I was getting a new table. And I never got the new table, and I told you. I come to your house, and you say to me, I want to sell you a table. And I ask you, why are you selling your dining room table? So you tell me, because you're getting a dining room table for someone else. And that falls through. You never get the dining room table. So you come back to me a week later, you say, I want my dining room table back. Now, obviously, you have to pay for it. You gotta undo the sale, but the guy could say, no, deal's a deal. Says the Ramah, no, metaltolin, you can't do this. But, according to the Mechaber, maybe you could do this by metaltolin. So we have an halach and Shulchan Aruch, which again, it seems to be very hard to understand from a typical business transaction, but if you at least specified at the time of sale what your motivation was, that's enough for this to be able to renege on the deal later on. The question that was asked is, what's the difference between property and metaltolin? So if you look at number four, the Sma, right? We know the Sma wrote the Drisha and the Prisha. The Sma was known for his wife, was a big Talmud Chacham, right? The Drisha, in the introduction to the Drisha, he quotes the son who wrote this, his father's Sefer, quotes a bunch of Chedushim from his mother. His mother was a big Talmud Chacham, Talmidah Chachama probably. So the Sma writes in number four, what's the difference? So he quotes a Tor, and the same thing is found in the Rosh, and the same thing is found in the Taisin Ksubis. The difference is like this, HaTor, people don't sell their property unless they really plan on going somewhere. Your land was your property, your land was your livelihood, it was everything. You don't just sell it unless you plan on doing something. Meaning, if I'm selling my property in America, that's because good and well I know I'm moving to Eretz Yisrael, I'm going to make it work there. He said, but you don't have that same type of umdana. You don't have that same guarantee when it comes to metaltolin. Again, when I sell my property to move to Eretz Yisrael, you know good and well I'm moving to Eretz Yisrael. Because I would never stay in America without a house. But it's not so true with a table. Maybe I'll sell my table even if I don't get the other table. So the Sma, quoting the Rush, is explaining that the difference between karka and metaltlin is you don't have that same guaranteed when it comes to karka. You just don't have it by metaltlin. Karka, we all know. If I'm selling my house, it's because I'm moving to another place. It's guaranteed. But you don't have that metaltlin. Therefore, you don't have that umdana. If you don't have that umdana, then we can't necessarily assume that that's what you were thinking. And then we'll see number three. Number three is another halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Says the Mechaber, Aval ha-meicher stam. Let's say I sell a piece of property. Aval pisha ha-yu b'liboy. But let's say it was in my heart. Shevnei kach v'kach u'meicher. I knew in my heart why I'm selling it. I knew I'm selling it to move to Eretz Yisrael. The aval pisha nirin ha-dvarim shlemach el-lazis came. Even if, let's say, it was clear, you could tell that that's why I'm doing it. But v'loy nas el-lazis kach v'kach. V'loy nas, and it didn't happen. Einei chayzer. Then I have no right to go back on the sale. Why? Sharei loy pirish. I never specified. Udvarim shebelev einan dvarim. And words that are in your heart don't count. The alpha piece kaidim mechira amashu meicher al das lasis kach v'kach. But even though before the sale I said, you know, I'm doing this with this intention. But given the b'shas hamechira loy amar, if I never said at the time of the sale, it's got to be at the time of the sale. Einoi chayzer, you can't go back. So here the mechaber seems to be different than the first mechaber. The first mechaber said that if at the time of the sale I at least let you know what I'm thinking, that's good enough. Here, you could tell, right? Like you get the hint that I'm selling, but I never said anything. I never spoke it out. Then says the Shulchan Aruch, no going back. Writes the Rama. This is another very important Rama. Me, however, let's say, for example, it's clear the why I'm doing it. Everyone can tell why I'm doing it, but I never said a word. I never once got up and told you I'm selling my land to make aliyah, but you could tell. For whatever reason, you could tell.
I didn't say it at the time of the sale, but I had to express it previously.
No, I never said a word, but it's clear to the world. Anyone watching could tell this is what's running through my mind. And I'll give you an example in a second. Says the Rama, then if there's an umumdin or the mukach, then the spatla mekach. Then the mekach will be void, even though I never said a word. Now, what type of case that would that be? So for those of you that have sheet 3, I apologize, it was a last minute edition. There's a mechaber in Shulchan Aruch, number 3b. The mechaber says like this. La'olam oimdin das hanoisim.
Rabbi, if nobody has it, I just emailed it right before this year.
I know, I apologize. It was a last minute edition. The mechaber talks about the following case. I'll read it outside. The mechaber said, let's say a person had one son. He has one son and his son travels abroad. And he gets a message that his son died. So as far as this man is concerned, he no longer has any yarshim. And therefore, he gives away all his money to a worthy organization. And a year later, he gets a message, you should know your son was alive. He never died. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, in such a case, that the sale or the gift that he gave away of his estate is void and batal. Why? Because everyone knows that the father would have never given away all the property if he would have known he has a son. But it's because he was misinformed. That's why he gives it away. That's an example of umdina de muchach. Everyone could tell that based on this scenario, I want the sale to go through. Now, what's interesting is the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch quotes that case, yet the Mechaber by us in the Choshe Mishpat didn't quote the words of the Ramah. So this Rebbe Vad Yosef Toledano discusses, as does other Sfarad Shepaiskim, does that mean that the Mechaber disagrees with the Ramah by us? The Mechaber by us was very clear. You gotta specify at the time of sale. No specification at the time of sale, then nothing makes a difference. Says the Ramah, yes, there's one other example. If it's so clear to the world, then you don't need to specify. And the Mechaber records that in Shulchan Aruch. So the question is, what does the Mechaber hold over here? So he wants to say, quoting other Achrayim, that is the most extreme case. That case of the Yarshim is the most extreme case where everyone knows. Every other case you have to start scratching your head and figuring out, is this an umdana de mochach? So let's go back to our cases in the Achrayim. A guy rents an apartment, a guy rents a hall to make a chasana in Eretz Yisrael. And then he finds out that there's a war and there's missiles flying. Can we all agree that if he would have known that there's missiles flying, he wouldn't have rented the hall? Of course. Wouldn't that be an umdana de mochach? For example, when my parents booked a chasana hall in Lakewood, they weren't thinking that there was going to be a coronavirus where you're not going to be allowed to travel, or you're not going to be allowed to have one.
There's a difference.
Why?
There's a difference. So with the war, right, so that there's a war in Gaza, there were still people that were traveling
good.
From Isa to
good.
Jerusalem,
good.
Because that's a choice.
Good.
Here, with the virus, the place is closed down, the government says you can't go, you can't mingle.
Good.
So you have no choice over
good,
it.
Good, that's what I want to talk more about. That there might be a difference between, let's talk about another case, which Blineda will see in Chuvas. Let's say to be a blizzard. massive blizzard, and therefore no one comes to the chasana. Is that the same thing as what's going on now with coronavirus or even with bombs? I don't think so. With a blizzard, you could get there. You just got to figure out a way to schedule your trip, and then you'll be stranded at the hall. You can walk, right? With this situation, there's a whole different idea over here. There's a limitation to the event. So I would argue that this situation should be like the Rambam on Shulchan Aruch. This situation should be what we consider. Again, most people...
So with the blizzard, you could have anticipated that it could have happened.
That's right. I mean, that at least is something that's on people's mind. This is really left field. No one anticipated...
It's literally on their radar screen.
Right.
The snow.
Especially, we'll see where Moshe Feinstein talks about a Shaila, on top of the case where there was even...
That was a joke that fell flat. Yes, sorry.
Where there was even... Let's say, example, you have weather reports that are anticipating a snowstorm. We'll talk about that, Belineder, in part two. So my argument is the following. If one can say that this coronavirus fits into the category of the Ramah, according to the Ramah, and maybe even fits into the category of the Shulchan Aruch, I don't know. Maybe the Shulchan Aruch would say that something like coronavirus is so out there, it's so muchach, improbable, and everyone has the same feeling. Now again, when people booked wedding halls 3 months in advance, no one said to the hall, and by the way, if there's coronavirus, I want to renege. No one booked an apartment in Eretz Yisrael 3 months ago said, by the way, if corona breaks out, I want to renege. No one said that. Now again, everyone specified why they were going. I would assume most people who rent an apartment in Eretz Yisrael specified why they're renting the apartment in Eretz Yisrael. They're renting it so they can go and spend time with their family, not to be quarantined for 2 weeks, or not to be stuck in an airport. So all these things, no one actually specified, but we all know, and this is probably what we'd call, what I would argue today is what the Ramah calls an umdina de muchach. It's pretty clear why you were doing it, and we have a halacha that when it's an umdina de muchach, you have the right to renege. Now, there's only one problem. The big problem that we have to discuss over here is that the Ramah is the one who differentiates between sales of property and sales of metaltolin. Our sugya is rentals. What's rental? Is rental like property, or rental is like objects? What status does a rental have?
Now,
it depends on what the person was renting.
No, because the Ramah told us that when it comes to metaltolin, we don't have a svar of gilui das. Because people will do things with metaltolin, even though it doesn't pan out. Because metaltolin is not such the end of the world. So you can you make an argument that someone would rent a hotel? Let's see. Look at number 5. Look what the 8 Yosef.
Yosef. Should it just depend on the guy's das, whether it's a mafira or a sphira? His das was, and if it's a the it's what happened.
So the question is, can you argue that rentals have the same mindset as property? That's the argument. So let's look at number 5.
Property is if you're renting real property or you're renting metaltolin.
No, because the Ramah differentiated between sales of property and, again, we have no halacha, as far as we know yet, about rentals. All we know is sales. And in the world of sales, the Ramah differentiated between property and objects. So now I'm asking you, what was the difference? So the Sma told us the difference is property is a mindset. You don't sell property unless you know it's going to work out for you. Metaltolin, you will. So I'm asking, where does
maybe the difference in rentals and sales just generically is that with a sale, it's permanent.
That's
so
right.
Whatever's going on at the time ultimately will pass, and then you'll still own the item. But with a rental, it's a temporary
very
thing,
good.
So it can make it completely impossible.
That's exactly the svar that the Mashal writes. Right? No one ever discussed the case. Let's say, for example, I would have bought a property. Let's say I'd buy a house today. And then a virus would break out in the neighborhood. He says, I don't want to live in this neighborhood anymore. It's too infected. Would he be able to renege on a sale? No, we never heard such a thing like that before. So we'll see the Marshal draw such a distinction. But let's look at number 5. Let's see what Rabbi Avad Yosef's grandson points out. He writes in number 5. Udefize yesh lodem. The Shema maybe. Af beschiris loy mahani gilei das. Maybe when it comes to a rental, you can't apply the svara of gilei das. Me'acher v'davka b'mecher karka. Maybe you can only use gilei das when it comes to property. She'ein derech l'machron. People don't just sell property quickly. If you sell property, it means it's very meticulously thought out, that it's only if X and Y work out. Mishum hachi yesh l'arma. That's why we say demahani umdana demuchach, a gilei das. Now everyone remember, there's two levels. There's something called umdana demuchach and gilei das. Gilei das means I at some point let you know at the time of the sale why I'm doing it. And umdana demuchach means it's clear from everyone. I don't have to say a word. Everyone knows that I only bought this, or I only sold this because of X and Y. Like the case of the Yershim. I only gave you the gift because I thought I had no one to inherit me. Those are the two levels. So says the Eit Yosef, he says, Ach b'schiva shederech lischar. Right? People will rent things. How many times have people rented things and they fell through? Yeah? Many times people will rent a hotel room in the future. And if they'll say to themselves, okay, worst comes to worst, I'll lose out the $100-something, whatever it is. It's not like I bought something. So he argues when it comes to schiras, af main daite adav mesuyim. Maybe even if I didn't have it, ki goin laalois laeretz yisrael ki yaitzibah. Yeishloim edloim mahani gilei das. So he argues, he's not sure, do we apply the svara of gilei das when it comes to a rental or not? So if you turn, for those of you who don't have the last page, so on the last page, he quotes over here from
page 3.
He actually quotes from a Marshal, where the Marshal says explicitly, and we'll come back to this Marshal in a few minutes, that the Marshal says when it comes to rentals, it is the same thing. So we have at least Mefurish and a Marshal that Schirus, rentals have the exact same status as buying and selling, which means, according to the Ramah, if you have what's called an Umdina de Mukhach, no one in their right, everyone knows that I would have never done this deal if this was the situation. And even in a rental property, you have the right to renege on such a deal. Now, there's only one problem. If we continue back on our original source sheets, we'll see that there's an interesting Ramah in Shulchan Aruch. Very fascinating Ramah. The Ramah number 6 writes the following. Misha sochar ba'is l'chaveri. Let's say I rented a house to my friend. At that time, he was my friend. I liked him. So I rented him a house. And then we became arch enemies. Right? He invited me to the Kiddush, whatever it was. Now we're enemies. So the halacha is ein yochel hoytzim labayis. I cannot end the rental just because we're not friends anymore. That would be a breach of contract, and I would be in trouble. However, says the Ramah, v'im amalei mitchila she'enei maskulei rak mishum shuayava. But let's say I tell him at the sale, you should know, we come to the rental. I say, you know what? I'm renting this to you just because we're best friends. Then says the Ramah, v'nasa soinoy. Then we become enemies. Yochel hoytzia. I can evict him. Unbelievable. So what's the pshat? So l'chayri, you see from this Ramah, that this is talking about a rental. And the halacha is, if I specified, I'm allowed to evict you. So what do you see? That even when it comes to rentals, we do apply the svara of some form of gilui das, some form of mindset, that we can all tell in my mind that I only rented it to you because you're my friend. And now that we become arch enemies, I'm reneging the deal. I'm allowed to do that. So you see from the Ramah Mefurish that when it comes to rentals, you have the right to say that if it's clear, or again, here I expressed it. If I expressed at the time that I'm doing it because X and Y reason, that is a reason to make the rental void and bottle.
Is there the Tanayim Kofel issue here?
No, you're not working with Tanayim over here. This is before Tanayim. There's three levels. There's expression at the time of sale, there's notifying at some time, and then there's the level of it's just clear to the world why you're doing it. So therefore, if you have all of those three things working, then you don't even need Tanoim. That's the chiddush of this sugya. The chiddush of this sugya is that I don't need to come on to Tanoim because I have all these other things working. So if you take this Ramah and Shulchan Aruch, then it should come out that I could apply the svara of Umdana to a rental. Because the Ramah uses it by a rental. The Ramah says that I can argue that I only rented you my property because I told you at the time of the sale. At the time of the rental, I said to you, you should know, I'm only renting this to you because you're my best friend. And now you're not my best friend anymore. I'm evicting you, I'm throwing you out. So what do you see from this Ramah? You see that when it comes to rentals, you could apply svaras of what's cooking in my mind. So, if we take this Ramah, and we take
that's
the other...
That's between you and him. That's not between you and a third party.
But what, should it matter why my... What
yeah,
my reason?
If my house fell through, it's got nothing to do with it. He and I are no longer friends. I had it with him. But if my house fell through that I was going to move to Israel, that's got nothing to do with me. That's your problem.
Right, but again, the argument that we can make is that since when do you have a right to renege a sale just based on something that didn't work out for you? So here, the fact that we're not friends anymore, okay.
It didn't work out.
Stipulated in the contract. Now, the truth is, everyone, we have to keep in mind, there's one thing that we keep on not discussing, which is the elephant in the room, is that in all these cases, there's technically nothing wrong with the wedding hall. Meaning, if I want to rent the wedding hall, they'll let me go in. Unless the Board of Health closed it down, I could probably walk into the wedding hall. If I wanted to rent an apartment in Eretz Yisrael, again, in Eretz Yisrael it's a little tricky. Why? Because very often the people that I'm renting it from move out to somewhere else. If they didn't move out, so I can't move into their apartment. But many of the cases, like in Eretz Yisrael, the Shalos and Tshuvos that I was discussing, is, let's say, for example, a hotel, I can technically take the room. I just don't want it. I don't want to go into a room because there's bombs flying over my head. But the argument that can be made is that the room is still intact, which we'll talk more about when we get to
Israel.
What?
The room is there. You just can't fly.
Right, right. Here, there's other limitations as well. So this Ramah is extremely controversial because both the Ktzais and the Nesivas take issue with this Ramah. So if you look in the Ktzais at number 7, the Ktzais does not understand this Ramah whatsoever. He writes, he says, what's going on over here? Over here, because at the time of this of the rental, I told you I am renting to you because of my friend. Says the Ktzais, that does not count as Giloy Das. Rak b'mash omar, just like what you're telling him. The kibun the kofle the tanai v'loyomo klal b'loshin tanai ain ze loy mishum Giloy Das v'loy mishum tanai. So the Ktzais argues on the Ramah. He says that's not enough information. If I tell you that I'm selling the house because I plan to make aliyah and be near my kids, that's Giloy Das. Says the Ramah, if I tell you that I'm renting you the house because you're my friend, that's not giving off the impression, and if we stop becoming friends, I'm not going to rent it to you. That's not enough of Giloy Das, argues the Ktzais. Says the Ktzais, aye, what happened to the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch that I quoted earlier, that the Ramah wrote? He writes, Omnam Nira, Lefi Taimish Shekasav HaRosham DeBikarka Mahani. The fact that the Ramah says that you're allowed to do this by land, Befarish B'Shas Mechir, as long as I specify, Shum De'ein Odom Moichi Karka Oisov Shum Mispanis Behem. Because a person does not sell his property, which is his Parnosa, Umistomo Le'mocher El Adaitai De'Pirish B'Shas Mechir. When it comes to a sale of property, we know good and well what your intention was. If you tell me at the time of the sale that you're selling your land to move to Eretz Yisrael, we know that you're only doing this to move to Eretz Yisrael. Avogabi metalkel, when it comes to prop objects, kibun shedeich lemachon, if normal to sell, then loy mahani mefarish b'shas mekach. It doesn't help the fact that you stipulated el dafka medina tenoi. The imkain says the ktzais hainu dafka b'moiche karkois. That's only if you sell property. Shum espanis v'endeich lemachon. Avol schiris karkois. But if you rent property, avidi behachi. So argues the ktzais. He disagrees with the Ramah. He says that when it talks about renting property, I don't think you can say the same svar that the Ramah wrote. So according to the ktzais, back to our case. Our case, you want to rent property. Says the ktzais, rental of property, you can't use any svaris. You got to have a tanai. Unless there's a condition set up that I'm only renting the property, I'm not saying I actually make it to Eretz Yisrael, says the Ktzais, that doesn't count. Aye, the Ramah says in Shulchan Aruch, that when it comes to property, I don't need it tonight. Yes, says the Ktzais, that's when you're actually selling a property. But when you're only renting a property, rentals are like metaltlin and metaltlin, you need to have explicit tanoim set up. So paskin the Ktzais.
So in the case of a temporary situation, like a viral epidemic,
right,
couldn't you make the argument that the sale should go through because it's a temporary situation, and once it resolves. As opposed to rental, I want it now. And if I can use it now, and my mindset at the time that I agreed to the rental is I'm only renting because I can use it at a specific time. If I can use it at this time,
right. I'm not interested. So I agree. That's why I think a rental fits into the category of above Giloy Das. It fits into the category of what we call Umdana the Muchach. Everyone knows that you only rented this apartment in Eretz Yisrael to be there for Pesach. Now, the problem with that is, we'll see in a second, and again,
you can use it. The apartment's available.
Oh, that's a counter-argument, which we'll have to get to in part two.
Not if the government won't let me in the country.
Oh, good.
The risk of
problem.
That's part two. We'll get to that Blineder. That's going to be part two.
Problem.
We'll get to that Blineder part two. We'll talk about that Blineder in part two. But I'm going, this angle that I'm going this week is focusing on invalidating the sale through mindsets. So the Ktzai seems to hold that Schiris does not work with mindsets. Schiris needs an actual tonight. Comes along the Nesivis, and he says it a little differently. And this is, I think, very negated to our case. Says the Nesivis, he quotes the Ktzai, and he disagrees. He writes,
Number
8. Says the Nesivis, the Fiani is Daiti. The Khan Gamke Mai Davka Shabayis Loyoyimin Elo Etzloy Lahaschet. The Nesivis makes a bigger kim than the Ramah. The Nesivis says the case of the Ramah is talking about a guy who, and this happens very often, right? You know, you have friends that have open apartments, available apartments, but they're not looking to become landlords. They're not interested in renting. It's a headache. They don't want to be a landlord. But you come over to him and say, listen, buddy, you know, I have a kid who just got married. He needs a place to stay. You're my best friend. Do me a favor. Let them sleep in your second house. Says the Nesivis, that's the case of the Ramah. That what? Rak lezeh hiskim shum shalayavoy. Everyone knows I don't want to be a landlord. I don't want to rent out my house. I have a second house somewhere in the neighborhood and I keep it for whatever when I need to run away from my wife because I'm in trouble. Whatever the svar is, right? But you're my best friend. You come over to me and say, listen, I'm in a bad spot. I need a place for my kids to live. So I rent it to you. Says the Nesivis, in that case, you know what happens in that case? Then, Mishum Shu'ayava Oz Gam Giloy Daito Shemaskila Rak Mishum Ayava. In that case, you have Giloy Das. That's a higher level of knowing. The Ketzais' argument was, oh, you never really specified. Yeah, you told me that you're renting it because you're my best friend, but that didn't mean anything to me. Says the Nesivos, yes, it did. This is not like a guy who has a commercial real estate business where he rents to everyone, and at the time of the rental, he says to him, you should know, by the way, you know, I gave it to you because you're my friend. The guy's like, thank you very much. You gave it to me because I'm paying, you know, full rent. Says the Nesivos, no, we're talking about a case where I don't normally rent. I'm not in the business for rental, and I only rented it because you're my friend. Says the Nesivos, in that case, he writes, then it's like umdina de mochach. Then it moves up a madrega. It's no longer gilei das. Now it pumps up a level to becoming what we call umdina de mochach. And the Ramah said, when it comes to umdina de mochach, then you could renege on the sale. So I would argue that l'chayre, the rentals in Eretz Yisrael, the rentals in the chasana, those are considered the level of umdina de mochach. So if those are level of umdina de mochach, according to the Nesivos, we do say umdina de mochach by rentals. So if you assume like the Nesivos, again, according to the Ketzais, we're stuck. But according to the Nesivos, how the Nesivos learned the Ramah, that when you have umdina de mochach by a rental, you have the right of saying that this was the mindset. So then the Chayra, back to our case, we should be able to apply and say that it's umdina de mochach. As everyone mentioned, I only rented the apartment in Eretz Yisrael so I can actually go to Eretz Yisrael and spend time with my family. I only rented the hall in Lakewood so I can actually make a chasal in Lakewood with a normal amount of people. And therefore, I have the right to renege on the sale. I never specified. I never even said anything. Who cares? It's umdina de mochach. And according to the Ramah,
would that apply? An umdina mochach is that just on a national level? But what if I rented the hall to make a wedding?
Yeah.
And then the chassan of the kallah got really sick.
Oh, very good.
They were in the hospital. So that's one. Have a wedding.
That's right. That's
so
one of
that
the.
Apply the same.
Very good. So Rabbi Avad Yosef has a tshuva in Yabi Oimer Chelik Tes Simin Yud Aleph. He discusses a similar shiloh. He discusses a shiloh where a chassan was booked, and then Nebuch the chassan becomes an oval. He loses his parent, so the whole chassan is canceled. So, question: would that be considered umdina de mochach? I think everyone agrees that I would never book a chasana hall if a person knew he'd have to nebuch be during Shiva. So then we're going to have to... This is where the shir gets very complicated. What constitutes umdina de mochach? That's going to be our shir today. What makes an umdina de mochach? What type of background information do you need? Is a snowstorm umdina de mochach? Is it heavy rain?
So it's, you're asking about secular law. So there's a concept in secular contract law known as impossibility of performance.
Okay.
So if it's impossible to deliver what I said I would deliver, I was going to sell you oranges, and then there's a blight, and all the oranges die.
Right.
It's not that I don't want to, or something happened in my own shop. Mm-hmm. I just literally, they weren't available.
Right.
So that's an impossibility of performance. You would be relieved
of the
contractual obligation. So it's kind of like this. If it's something that
impossible
for me to go to the chasana, or it's impossible for me to get to Eretz Yisrael because El Al and everybody else suspended flights, maybe that would...
Right, so I would have argued that...
What if the chassan, somebody gets sick? That's not impossible.
Right.
If the chassan gets sick...
Well, say, we have to keep in mind, guys, we didn't do this yet. Till now, we've been talking...
Cruel,
let's go back for a second, everyone. Till now, we've been talking about only one-sided. We've been talking about where the seller or the renter wants to renege. We need to talk about the reverse case, which is all our cases, where the rentee wants to renege. We need to talk about a case where we can get... Till now, we're discussing the seller and the renter. What about in our case? It's not the hall is not the problem. Here, it's the guy who rented from the hall who wants to get his money back. Now, does that make a difference? We'll see in a few minutes. So if we'd stop...
When there is a specific, one type of loss of, cost involved, canceling... What about other costs involved? Other buyer or the buyer or the seller has other costs.
So the question is, right. So each one's going to have to then have their own special din Torah with whoever they're dealing with. The guy who gets his services from someone else. I'm not talking about it, but Rabbi Avadia also discusses, as does this his grandson, what happens, let's say, for example, all the workers. This is a very touchy shaila. The workers. All the workers, they're ready to go to work, but they're closed. So do they get paid? That's a very, very complicated shaila. What about the workers? Schiras Polim, a little bit more complicated. But yeah, that's as well as a big shaila. Rabbi Shabbos also in his tshuva in Minchas Arshi, he talks about it. Let's say you close the hotels, all the hotel workers, they want to show up to work. They're ready to work, but there's nothing to do. That's a little bit more complicated. So if we were to stop right now...
Rabbi,
yes.
But can you say that Umdana de Muchach is just a greater revelation of a Megala Das? It's a Gili Das from one of them.
Right.
But now... Umdana the Muchach makes it a Gili Das that everybody would understand.
Yeah, I think that's the way to say it. Okay,
Umdana the Muchach. Should agree with that also.
Again, the Mechaber Shulchan Aruch, we don't know if he really holds of Gilei Das. The Mechaber Shulchan Aruch holds if you say it at the time of the sale. All the Mechaber rules is if you say it at the time of the sale, you let them, everyone know at the time of the sale. Then we learned that if you don't let them know at the time of the sale, but there was some form of Gilei Das, that's good enough. And then there's Umdana the Muchach. Now, we don't know what the Mechaber holds of Umdana the Muchach. We do know the Mechaber holds of the case of the son and the father that's considered Umdana the Muchach. The question is, what would the Mechaber say to every other case? We just don't know. He doesn't address it, the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch. But let's go like the Ramah for a second. According to the Ramah, according to the Nesivas, I see right now that one can make a very strong argument on all the rentals, halls, and hotels, and apartments. You have Umdana the Muchach. Everyone knows that I only rented it so I can go there. No one in their right mind thought I rented it just for the fun of it. And therefore, even though no one actually stipulated in the contract, I should be able to renege, I should be able to get my money back, and everything should go back to normal. However, there's one problem. There's a Machloikis Rishayim in number 9. The tour in Siman Reish Lamed brings down a very interesting Machloikis Rishayim. He quotes from Rabbeinu Yoina. Rabbeinu Yoina writes the following Shaila. Aval Halakeyach Yayin Mechaber. Let's say someone buys wine from his friend. He tells the buyer, you know, I bought all these barrels of wine because I plan to travel to X and Y community, and in that community I'm going to be able to sell a lot of wine. And then what happened was, and then what ended up happening is the price dropped before I had a chance to get to that new community. So now, my argument is, I'm a buyer, and I say to myself, I only bought the wine to sell it. Now the market dropped, there's nothing to sell, I want to renege. Says the tour, Hamekach Kayim, the sale is valid. Why? Shari Mekach Mekach Kamer. What do you mean? You bought from the distributor. Although your mindset was X, Y, and Z, who cares? You bought it. It's yours. I asks Rabbeinu Yoino. He says, Afal Pisha Meicher Adas La'alas Eretz Yisrael. We know when it comes to moving to Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't work that way. When I sold a piece of property to move to Eretz Yisrael. Afal Pisha Meicher Adas La'alas Eretz Yisrael. V'lo Yochel La'alas Machri Batol. Why is that different in this case? Says Rabbeinu Yoino. B'moichel Bulvar Aminon. It's a one-sided heter. It only works for a seller, doesn't work for a buyer. B'moichel Bulvar Aminon. Because he sold it under distress. It was known. Come along, Rabbeinu, with the Gevaldige Chiddush. That this idea of Gilei Das and this idea of motivation only works one way. It only works for a seller, not a buyer. I mean, let's, for example, I bought property in Eretz Yisrael because I wanted to live near my kids. And then it turns out, you know what? It's a bad idea to live near the kids. You know, it's not so healthy. The grandkids are getting on my nerves. I want to move back to America. So I come back to my seller, and I say, back, give me back. The guy says, jump in the lake. You were a buyer. The whole heter is only for a seller. The heter does not work for a buyer. Now, if you accept this Rabbeinu Yoina, and you apply this to rentals of property, that takes out our whole sugya. In all our sugyas, it's not the question that the rental hall wants to renege. It's the question is that you, the renter, want to renege, or you, the buyer, want to renege. Can you figure out how to get it up? You want to get it up? Okay, I want to try to see if my daughter can figure out how to get the Marmon Chemist on the screen. We'll have a big amuna that she can pull this off. In any case, that's the chayr will come down from this tour. Now, if you accept the rule, again, continues the tour, Avra Rabbeinu Chananel Kasav, but Rabbeinu Chananel Paskins, She'en Chiluk Bein Moichel Lekeach. Rabbeinu Chananel is of the opinion it makes no difference between a buyer and a seller. So we got a big machlokes Rishonim on our hands. According to Rabbeinu Yoina, it's a one-sided experience. While according to Rabbeinu Chananel, it goes both ways. So now, we have to ask ourselves, who do we pass him like? Who do we pass him like Rabbeinu Chananel? And how do I become the host? And according to Rabbeinu Chananel, it goes both ways. Loikeach. So according to Rabbeinu Chananel, would work for the renter also. No, I just want to know how do I get host?
You host, and just make up a new
number. I have to make up a number?
Just make up any 6 to 10 random number. I tried that before.
I don't know how to claim host. Okay, it's not working. Okay. In any case, so we have a big machlokes Rishonim over here. According to Rabbeinu Yoina, it only works for a seller, not for a buyer. Which would that mean would be the same thing for a rental and a rentee? I'm the host now. Okay, Gavaldik. Okay, now we can mute everyone. Okay. So again, so now if we can get the Maamar Kremes up, it would be great. Okay, so according to Rabbeinu Yoino, it only works for the seller, not the buyer. According to Rabbeinu Chananel, it works for everyone. So let's go back to our case. When I am the rentee, I want to renege on the sale, and I want to argue that I never rented an apartment from you unless I can go to Eretz Yisrael and spend time with my family, then, according to Rabbeinu Yoino, it doesn't matter, because I'm on the wrong side of things. While according to Rabbeinu Chananel, it would work. Now, how do we paskin in this machloikis between Rabbeinu Chananel and Rabbeinu Chananel and Rabbeinu Yoino? So if you look at the last sheet that I put out, the new sheet, there's a tshuva from the Marshal. The Marshal, we've mentioned many times, was the uncle of the Ramah. We're talking about the late 1500s. The Marshal was one of the earliest Gedolei Achronim. Mamish late mid to late 1500s. And we mentioned this in the past. It's worth. I heard this from Rebbe Wein, so it's always worth mentioning that the Marshal used to be very tough on his nephew, Rabbi the Ramah. He used to write to him letters. He used to write letters to him saying, like, you know, your Hebrew is no good. He used to make fun of his Hebrew skills and how he used to write things. Well, still page one, yeah. So he used to be very tough on his nephew, the great Ramah. But they used to write a lot of letters back and forth to each other. Oh, you got it. Come on, okay.
Can we just go back on? Okay, wait now.
1 second.
Share screen.
Yeah.
Here.
Oh. Oh, okay, here we go. My daughter figured it out. Gavalik. Okay.
How old is she, 3?
No, she's my older one. She's 11. She figured it out. The other ones would have figured
you,
out.
Dino, you just have to get up a little earlier next time.
That's right. Okay, Baruch Hashem, now we're good to go.
Want to share from the beginning now?
We'll start all over again, everyone? Okay. Now, in any case, so if you get to the last page... The last page, I'll read it quickly. It's a Chuvas Marshal. The Marshal writes, someone asked him the following case. Reuven rented an apartment, a house from Shimon, with the intention of moving to Tveria, to live in Tveria for 3 years. That was the case. Why? Because he got from the government some form of base harechayim, he got some form of a reason to live there for 3 years. We'll call it, just to make things simple, he got some form of a job, he got an internship, he got something in Tveria. So he planned on living in Tveria for 3 years. So he rented his house in whatever, in Yerushalayim, for 3 years to somebody. What ended up happening is when he got to Tveria, he realized the government pulled it, or the government didn't allow it to happen. And now he says to himself, why do I need to be in Tveria anymore? I want to come back to Yerushalayim. And he comes back after a year and a half. And he says, well, they pulled my, we'll just make it simple, the government canceled my program, or they canceled my internship, or whatever the case is, and now I want to renege on the rental. So the question was, does he have the right to do that? So the Marshal writes in the Tshuva, absolutely, 100%. The Marshal says he has absolutely 100%. Says the Marshal, he writes, Avel hecha shehiskel abayis, but you rented it, adayit dehachi, that was the intention. And oinus happens. You give him everything back. He gets all his money back. And he only gives him back what he lived there. But everything goes back. So what do you see over here? That when it comes to a rental, that you can renege the whole deal. Right? He rented it to Shimon, and you have the right on a rental to renege all the money he gives back, except for the money you actually used. So therefore, says the Marshal, you see, when it comes to rental of property, even rentals, you have the right to say that I want to renege on the deal. Now, there's a very important...
Employee really gets fired?
Hard to know. Hard to know what the onus is. He calls it an onus. I guess that might not be an onus. That might be his own negligence. If he causes himself for the program to default, that might be his own fault, maybe. Perhaps. Perhaps that would be his fault. Now, there's a very important Chuvas Chassam Sofer over here. On the last page, the Chassam Sofer is bothered with a kasha. There's a Tosfos in Ksubas. Tosfos in Ksubas has the following kasha. The Gemara in Ksubas says that there's another type of Gilui Das. There's a type of Gilui Das that a husband will only write a ksuba of 200 zuz if he ends up having the suin with his wife. I mean, I'm not going to give extra money to the ksuba unless I actually live with her and we're married together. That's called another type of Gilui Das. So Tosfos in Ksubas has the following question. I'm reading from the Chassam Sofer. Tosfos has a kasha. Frek Tosfos, what happens in a case where you rent, you buy an animal, and then the animal turns out to be no good, turns out to be a trefa? So why don't we say in such a case that you can renege the deal? I never would have sold it if I would have known this and that. So the Chassam Sofer writes this. He said that when we talk about a difference between buying, selling property, and selling objects, that goes one way. Says the Chassam Sofer, Hachinami, Ein adam koneh metaltlin, a person does not buy things like wine unless there's gain. Avol moicher metaltlin, v'lo ikeh karch v'lo yaminu be'umdina. Says the Chassam Sofer, an interesting idea. When it comes to selling property, I'm sorry, when it comes to selling objects or buying property, there is no such thing called an umdina. Umdinas don't work. Again, according to the Chassam Sofer, when do we say umdinas? That's when it comes to selling property. But when it comes to buying property, you will buy property no matter what. People love property. Therefore, says the Chassam Sofer, when it comes to buying property, when it comes to buying property, then we say that umdinas don't matter. So he says like this, when umda vahashtin that nicha de beloikeach, I mean an umdina dafka be metatlin. When it comes to buying, when do you need an umdina? That's only when you're buying objects. For loy bekarka, not by property. So it comes out according to the Chassam Sofer, when it comes to buying property, you don't need an umdina. We don't say umdina. Why? Because everyone wants to own property, even though it's going to have issues with it. But according to him, when it comes to metatlin, when it comes to objects, then we do say umdina. Which means, if you assume that a rental is like metaltolin, right? If you assume like a rental is like metaltolin, according to this Chassam Sofer, when it comes to metaltolin, then we do say umdina. That means the loikeach, the buyer, or the rental would have the right to say, there's an umdina over here that I only want to buy it for this and this reason. So it could come out, perhaps, according to the Chassam Sofer, even if you're machmir, like those Rishonim that hold the Lekeach has no right of Umdina, but maybe a renter would have right to say Umdina. That's perhaps one angle to work with. Okay. Because we're not up against the time limit, I don't know how much longer we're going to continue, but we did not get to a lot of what I wanted to get to today. So we'll try to do a little bit more, and then we'll discuss when to do a part two. Now, let's just take a look at a very important Tshuva Sarajba. Let's talk about another case that the Rishonim discussed, and we'll see how this is going to be relevant to our Shaila as well. There's a Tshuva Sarajba, number 10 in the left corner of your screen. The Tshuva Sarajba was asked the following Shaila. The Beis Yosef quotes the Tshuva Sarajba. On the next page, I'll show you the Tshuva Sarajba inside. The Tshuva Sarajba was asked the following Shaila. Shenishal al Ruvein Shehiska Bais L'Shimon. Ruvein rented a house to Shimon. L'shona Ayesi. He maybe rented out for a year or more. Umeis Shimon Acha Shnayim U'Shloish Chadoshim. And what ended up happening is that Shimon died. I'm sure this does happen a lot in those people that deal with real estate. So let's say you rent an apartment to a fellow, and let's say you sign the lease for a year. And 3 months into the lease, Shimon dies. So the question is, in b'noi yocholoi mabeischa eini roitze, v'schiris eini mishalom lecha, elafichesh mishadar ba, avi. Can the children say to the landlord, listen, my father's passed away, he no longer needs your apartment. So my father was in the apartment for 3 months, so we paid 3 months worth of rent. And the next 9 months, when I'm interested, or not. The Heshiv and the Rajba answered, She'eino yochel, you can't do that. The Schiras Lizmane Memkarhu, says the Rajba, because a rental is like a sale. This is a phrase we spoke a lot about, actually, that Schiras Mimkal Yoimihi, that a rental is a sale, and therefore you sold it to me for whatever the duration of the contract is, you're stuck with it. So Paskins the Rajba. The Chayin Dasa Taisvis, and that was the opinion of Taisvis. He writes at the end, Lafuke Mimashikotzeva Mordechai, but the Mordechai disagrees. Page 2. What does the Mordechai disagree? We'll see in a second that the Mordechai held that that's not the case. Now, according to this Tshuva Sarajba, now, Rabbi Avad Yosef assumes that this Tshuva Sarajba would be the same case of the rental of the hall. Let's say someone rents a hall for a chasana, and then Nebuch, he finds out that he can't make the chasana because they're not, that's page 1, that he's an Avelus. So Rabbi Avadya says it should be the same case as this Tshuva Sarajba. The same way that this guy is not living in the rental because he's not alive, that should be the same case as the chasana. That I'm not able to make the chasana because I'm an oinus. So says Rabbi Avadya Yosef, you see from this Rajba that we don't care about oinus. A rental is a rental. Rental is a sale. No backsies. That's Rabbi Avadya Yosef's initial svara. Now, if you take a look over here in the Rajba himself, this is going to go.
Maybe there could be that the reason is that if you still have, if the sons still have 9 months left on that lease, there's that's still an asset that they can use. They can rent it or sub-rent.
No, but the kids say they don't want it. The kids say they don't want it. They want to just give it back. They're not interested.
No, I understand that, but it's not that they have no use for it, like a wedding where the chassan gets sick 2 days before.
Right.
There's no time to sell it to somebody else to make it their own wedding there.
Right.
This is still, there's still value to the 9 months of the lease.
Right.
And they would have an obligation to at least try to sublet, rent it to somebody else so that they wouldn't lose their money.
Right, right. That would be perhaps a svarim mechalik between the Rajba's case and the Rav Avadya Yosef's case. Now, the Rajba's case, would that be similar to our case of rentals in Eretz Yisrael with bombs falling, or rentals of halls with coronavirus and limitations of chasana halls? I would assume it's the same thing. You can't use it; it's unavailable. But you don't want it anymore, right? I no longer want this hall if I can't have a normal chasana. But now let's take a look on the next page.
So one situation of death that happens more readily than
Okay, good. So that's what the Rajba was going to have to explain. What's the difference in the level of oinus? What type of oinus is enough or not enough to invalidate a rental? Again, over here we're talking about a rental. We're not talking about a sale over here. So if you look at the page 2, that should be on your screen by now. I think we got a cookie now. That's on our screen, page 2. Number 11 is the Tshuva Sarajba itself. If you look in the Tshuva Sarajba, he writes, he says, lo'olam yaseh. He says, "V'ilu kona bias." Says the Rajba, well, let's flip the case. What would happen if I sell a house to a guy, and 3 months into the sale, the guy dies? So you're going to tell me the kids are going to come back to me and say, we want to renege on the sale because my father only bought the house if he planned on living. Now that my father died, he doesn't need a house. That would be ridiculous, right? He says, "V'ilu kona bias v'neschai b'dom of umeis koydim shi'idusham," and the dad dies before he lives there. Hanitim b'zeh tainus oinus. You're going to tell me oinus? V'nem azeh be'emes loy kona b'otam elu, and said the sale never happened? Elu kadesh yidar b'hem? No one's going to say that. Oy shama kain koydim shifna hanema b'zeh rei oinus v'loy dov nisbat l'amekach. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, there's a huge difference. In a sale, now the Yorshim have an asset that belongs to them as opposed to rental. It's just the rights of usage. So if I can't use it, it's not worth anything.
Good, but why isn't it any different in the case of Eretz Yisrael? I sold property in Eretz Yisrael. I sold property to go to Eretz Yisrael. Here also, I bought a house to live in. If I don't need a house for living, I don't need the house. What's the difference in the mindset? Again, let's, for example, everyone agrees that people buy homes so they have somewhere to live. I think that's pretty fair. So if I don't need a home to live because the person's no longer in this world, so they're asking for it, and he says...
But the Yorshim don't have a right to... The Yorshim now have an asset. They can't say, well, I have no use for this. I have use for this. I can sell it. I can rent it. I can do anything.
All right, so the Rajba writes...
They have the same asset with a rental.
They could have technically subletted it, right? If they wanted...
Not necessarily.
No, the Rajba said, again, I don't know, but the Rajba, at least in the Shoyl, he writes, the kids say they have no interest in it. They don't want to deal with it. It sounds like they just don't want to deal with it.
The value decreased with the short-term rental. The value decreased because of the coronavirus. That's that. Whose fault is that?
Oh, that's what we got to figure out. So the Rajba writes, Ukeinu sh'amu ba'dayta l'mesik la'ar d'Yisrael, el sh'zeh koine, k'dei sh'ishtam sh'behen. You bought the house, so you can use it. Hu u'banav acharav. V'chein zeh. The Rajba thinks that this rental is the same thing as a buying. You bought it to use. You'll rent it, your kids will rent it. It's the same thing as if you bought a house. But then at the end of the Rajba, he speaks out, he writes. He says, you can't claim oinus. Why? Let's say the guy went to stay by his daughter's house, and then the rain prevents him from coming back to his rental. The Rajba is a gavaldik akasha. Let's say you go away to Shabbos for your kids. And then there's a massive snowstorm. You can't get back to your apartment for 3 weeks. So for 3 weeks, I'm not paying rent. I didn't live there for 3 weeks. That's ridiculous. You're never going to say such an argument. Shari hifsiko nahar, or I was blocked by a river. I akvay hageshem b'dvarim elu b'teilim hei mitoichan. That's ridiculous. The kol shekein zesh and eschayv lo b'skirosa b'kinim. Says the Rajba, these outside elements are not enough to invalidate a rental. Therefore, says the Rajba, in this case, the kids are stuck with the rental for the duration of the rent. So Rabbi Avadya Yosef says, according to this Rajba, same thing here also. Same thing. Now, the question then is where do we say umdana de muchach, and where do we say like the Rajba is saying? When do we say that, come on, this is ridiculous. You're stuck with it. Or when do we say the svar of umdana de muchach? So if you look at number 12, the H. Yosef, this Rabbi Avadya Yosef's son, he writes at this. Achadayin tzarech levar mahogedah. What's the rules? When do we say umdana de muchach? When don't we say umdana de muchach? V'shem Yishlom, he comes up with an interesting svar. He says like this. V'shem Yishlom, sheba umdana de muchach yesh tzarech shi'a muchshol yodua shi'etochin v'yovei kvar b'shas kim amech. Someone mentioned this svar earlier. There has to be a level of, perhaps, a possibility of this happening. There has to be at least an element of me knowing what may and may not happen. Meaning, you told me you're selling to move to Eretz Yisrael. I know in the back of my head, could be Eretz Yisrael won't work for you. That's enough to be considered umdana the mochach, and therefore Elo shebeteach b'Hashem shechesi sebeven v'yal b'yod. Allah says mitzvah zu. I mean, when you come to me and you tell me, listen, I'm selling my house in 5 towns because I want to move to Eretz Yisrael. So I know in the back of my mind, I hope and I pray that he loves Eretz Yisrael. But I also know in the back of the mind there is a possibility that Eretz Yisrael won't work well for him, and he's going to want to move back. So then the umdana the mochach creates a feeling that I know deep down I might have to part with this sale. Val kein kol shegila daita shaldas kein oilo yesh levat l'samekach. When I rent you a house, again, this might depend on what his medical situation was. Obviously, if I rent a house from a fellow who's 98 years old and he has multiple medical issues, then I have to anticipate he might die. But he says, you told you rented from a regular guy, and never the guy has a heart attack. I never anticipated in my wildest dreams that this would happen. So this is a very big chiddush according to this Rabbi Yosef Avad Yosef Toledano. He wants to say that you can't say umdana de muchach if it wasn't on anyone's radar screen. If it wasn't even on the radar screen at all, at least according to the Rajma. Yeah,
people die with it on the radar screen.
You don't anticipate it. Again, I don't think it's
going to happen.
Yeah, but it's not enough to assume, anticipate that that's going to happen. When you rent someone an apartment, your average healthy person, you're not anticipating he's going to die from a heart attack. But again, the fees that... No one in their right mind anticipated coronavirus. No one thought in a million years that there would ever be this thing called coronavirus, that we would not be allowed to travel, we'd be locked. No one anticipated that. So if you accept his svara back into the Rajba, then the Chayr, according to the Rajba, we can no longer use this as a svara to say the svara of umdana de muchach. Because umdana de muchach has to at least be with something that's on the table. Now he writes at the end, ach le metzasi mikor le dvarai. He writes, I never saw anyone who says like me. No one actually ever said such a svara like I'm suggesting, but he does suggest such a svara. Well, he wants to say that the difference is whether or not it's at least on people's mind. It has to at least be on people's mind. If it's not on people's mind, it doesn't even get into the world of umdana de muchach.
It gets back to David's point about force majeure. What? How do you define it? How do you define what's on people's mind? What can you anticipate?
So he's saying that from the Rajba. He's saying that he thinks Pshat in the Rajba is that the Rajba will tell you that things that are on people's mind are things that are at least, you know, likelihood. For example,
subjective.
It might be. Let's say, for example,
even,
that
even in law and force majeure, those concepts that David can speak to it more, but it has to be more specific than less specific.
I would assume
it's a general clause. Doesn't necessarily.
I would assume. You know, I would assume there's a problem. Right. So, example, we'll talk about the nether in part two for an example of a snowstorm. Now, a snowstorm is on people's radars. Why? Because the news told you. Rav Moshe writes like this because the news told you it's going to snow in 3 days. Now we'll say, well, they could be wrong. Blah blah blah. This, that, and the other. But at least
it's in April.
Okay. Right. So that might be an example. Then it's always going to be hard to figure out what constitutes this madrega of being on people's mind. Now, again, I personally would assume if anyone booked before February. Then Corona was not on your mind at all. It didn't exist yet, at least not in this country or in Eretz Yisrael. Now you can argue what happens, let's say 2 weeks ago, where it was already in our world, but not as extreme. Now we knew what was going on in China, and we heard about Italy and other countries, so then you can start arguing, then you can say, well, you have to at least anticipate this might get out of hand. Or you'll argue, no, we never thought in a million years America would be hit like this. So that's where things get a little bit exciting. So, according to...
Well, should umdana de muchach have anything to do with whether it's on the radar or not? It's something that's muchach by definition.
No, he's being magdic.
It's something that nobody would do.
No, but he's saying that that's what the Raj was addressing. The Raj was saying you can't just play umdana de muchach straight up and leave it like that. Because again, according to them, then the Raj was wrong. Because no one in their right mind rents an apartment if he knows he's not going to live there because he's going to die. Zog the Rajba, yeah, that's because that's not something that's what he's learning the Rajba. He's learning the Rajba that death is not umdana de muchach. Because this is his gedder. I'm not saying you can't argue on him. He's learning that according to the Rajba, the rules of umdana de muchach have to be things that people can at least perhaps have on their mind one day that this could happen. If it's something that's so far fetched, you know, like a meteorite falling from the heaven and then blowing up the hole, he thinks that would not be considered an umdana de muchach. Okay, that's his chiddush. Okay, but
so in the case where you bought an animal to eat and it turned out to be treif, I don't remember what you said the stock was, but clearly you know a certain percentage of animals are going to be treif.
Good. That's a good point.
Factored into the price.
Good.
So they shouldn't renege the sale.
So let's see, right, that takes me to what I want to get to right now. Let's see very quickly a tshuva from the Chassam Sofer. Let's see a tshuva from Chassam Sofer number 13. Very, very important from the tshuva from the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer writes the following. Right. Dr. Chassam Shaver, number 13, left corner. Okay, I think this is going to be the last Ma'arim Lachim for today, but Blinetta will have to figure out when to finish this year because we didn't finish up the Ma'arim Lachimus on this page, and there's a whole new slew of Ma'arim Lachimus that we have to get to. But let's just finish up the Chassam Shaver. Dr. Chassam Shaver, he writes, "Ubechidushe biarti." In my chidushim, I explained, "Beyishu kushes ataisvan." I want to answer Taisa's kasha. And he said that this, "The lefiz the least iti loy nimso umdino el b'moicher oy b'leikeach v'loy b'mekach atzmoi." Says the Chassam Shaver, "New Yisoid." The only time we could say umdin of the muchach is either the buyer or the seller, but not in the object itself. Keep going. You have a mizmaz bin karki yosav amanaz lemaz bein para. That's an example. Let's say I sold property because I wanted to buy something else. V'loi motza likach. And then, let's say for example, a guy sells his house because he was told that there's great stocks to buy. So he sells his entire house, gets the money, and he uses that money to buy stock, or he uses that money to buy an animal. So he says, in that case, v'loy motza likach. And in that case, he's not able to buy it. So then, ha'yichayzer mekach, it would go back. V'chein ha'loy keach. Let's say I bought something. V'chein ha'loy keach tover. V'loy itzvichilei. Let's say I bought something and I don't need it. So then, chayzer mekach, the deal would go back. Avoloy ira dover. If something, loy la'haloy keach v'loy la'moicha. Elo bedover hanikach. Says the chlamsoy, but let's say it's not the buyer, it's not the seller, but the cheftza, the object, is the trouble issue. Kigoyin. Shenitrefa, the object became a trefa, a mesa para, boze loy aminan umdena. Kaval de gechilish from the chlamsoy. According to the chlamsoy, umdena only works if the thing is me. It didn't work out for me, it didn't work out for him. But if it's the cheftza is the problem, kigoyin. Let's say the object becomes troublesome. Why? The acha shenigmar kinyan? Once I purchase it, it's my animal. That's it, I'm done. Once I purchase that hotel room is mine. I don't want the hotel room anymore. Big deal. It's now your hotel room. Let's go back to our case with the tour. The case of when he bought the wine. Remember the case in the tour where he bought the wine and then the price tanked. So says the Chassam Sofer, the Shuvah Pluf Das Rabbeinu Yoyin Rabbeinu Chanal Demayi B'Koyni Yayin V'Loi Kasav Elo Huzal. He says that case, the price dropped. V'Loi Hisker Hichmitz. He didn't say that the wine got bad, because if the Chassam be in the Chefza, then we don't say Giloy Das. You only say Giloy Das if it's either the Moicher or the Koyne. He writes, V'Hayim B'Tam Anal Da Hichmitz, if the wine would have went bad, Havei Leki Trefa, that would be like the animal became a Trefa. That's the chesaron in the chetza. Then we don't say imdra. Mashenkin huzal, if the market crashes, if everything around you goes down, then you could say umdra de mucha. So if you accept this chesam cipher, where does that leave us with coronavirus?
But the hotel is different. Hotel is you're buying services and services weren't delivered.
Okay, that's if that's only if they don't let you in. Let's say they let you come. But no one in their right mind is going to come.
But they're not going to feed you, then.
Okay, that would be more complicated.
It's not a defect in the chetzah, it's your mindset.
No, but he's arguing. That's the chiddush from the Chassam Sofer. He wants to tell you, it's a chiddush. He wants to tell you, the umdana, the muchach, only works if the chesaron is in what I planned or I didn't plan. Not if this, again. So let's just finish this up. Number 13.
Exactly. The hotel room is there. It's perfect. It's in perfect condition.
Yeah, but you're not just paying the hotel.
Oh. So let's see. Okay, Rabbi, so let's see 13b. Let's see what he does with this chum seif. It says Rabbi Taladino, he says, in our case, with the wedding halls, it's a chesaron of the davar hanikach. I would have never rented this hall if I would have known that there were going to be bombs falling. He wants to suggest that that's the same status as the animal becoming a trefa. It's not about the renter. I would love to make a chasuna. For me, I would love to make the chasen all here. For me, it's a huge pain to find another hall. And to spread, send out another invitation. So he wants to tell you, if you accept this chasam sofer, you can't apply to the wedding halls. Because why? It's not me. I would love, now I would argue, and I say, what do you mean? I would love to have a chasen where people can come. Right, who wants to make a chasen where people are not going to want to come? I wouldn't say it's a chesaron just in the guf hadavar, it's a chesaron to me. I never want to make a chesaron in a hall where no one can come. So then it's no longer chesaron in the chevtza. I would say it's now chesaron in me also. Then he writes, "V'oy de'me'achiz b'shas asmanas aschirus loy ala alibam klal shetovim melchama al Yisrael v'shiyiplu hatilim be'ir ashtod ukiyetzibo v'fichach ein zeh b'chal umdra demuchach hamivatelas es hamekach." So he wants to argue that this would not consider umdra demuchach to mivata the mekach, and therefore he thinks that that would not be enough to invalidate the sale.
Wedding hall is strictly the cost of using the room, because the others you contracted for services. The services are not being delivered. Why should you have to pay for that?
That's true for the wedding hall. So you have other services,
right?
No, but the wedding hall, you could use the whole wedding hall.
Again,
he already has that.
Now, again, some of these halls. So here's where it gets in. Some of these halls will tell you, fine, you can come here and make the hall with less than 50 or less than 10 people. Now, no one in their right mind needs a wedding hall for less than 10 people. No one books a wedding hall to make a chasana for less than 10 people.
So
no one.
Lakewood.
Definitely right. That, like in my case, it happens to be both parties don't live near Lakewood. So both parties were going to schlep to a chasana in Lakewood, not because they're going to do less than 10 people. So it's a very, very strong svara that it's not just the chevtza, it's the people. So, believe that we're going to have a part two.
But the question is, Rabbi, they may let you in, but are they going to charge you for the 200 people?
That's the question. So we're going to have to leave off Bli Neder. We still have more to see. We're going to have to make a part two where we're going to finish up this Umdina discussion. And then we'll see perhaps a whole nother angle. And this is the angle of Rasha Weiss takes, and this is the angle many other places can take. A svara called Makas Medina, but that's going to have to be left for a different time. Michael wrote on the email that we're going to discuss it this Tuesday night. I don't know if I want to discuss it this Tuesday night, because I realized we haven't yet got to discuss any regular Hilchas Pesach. So we might do that this Tuesday, and Bli Neder next Sunday we'll make this part two, because I want to discuss this Tuesday night practical Hilchas Pesach for making Pesach in 2020 with coronavirus. A lot of interesting halacha that people need to
do that next Sunday too?
What?
For those who don't go during the week?
Well, that's going to be... Well, I don't have enough days. I'm running out of time. So I got to do part two next Sunday, and this Tuesday night we'll do halachas of making Pesach. Really, the title is going to be knowing when to do Pesach. A lot of timing that we take for granted because we're in shul changes when we're not in shul. So a lot of timing things we're going to focus on, and a lot of shiurim for people that are not feeling well. The last thing they need to do is eat endless unnecessary amounts of matzah and wine. So we're going to spend time focusing on shiurim, focusing on the clock, and all those things that we need to know when Pesach falls out in a situation like this. So that's Tuesday night. So unless Michael has an issue with this, next Sunday we'll make this part two. If that's okay.
As long as we finish it next Sunday, you think you can finish it in one shiur?
I'll try my best.
No way.
If not, we'll leave it off. We'll have to mitzvah Hashem continue after Pesach. Or maybe on Pesach. Chol HaMoed. No one's going anywhere.
What are you talking about? I'm making a major trip to my living room.
Chol HaMoed trip. My kids are already getting a picnic in the backyard. That's Chol HaMoed trip. That's it.
Rabbi.
Yes.
Can you add a name to your learning
Sure. Bli Neder. Yes. Yeah, I'm listening.
I'm Yoshua Ben Hendel.
Sure. Okay, Bli Neder. We got it down. Okay, everybody say, have a wonderful week. Stay safe, everyone. Be well.
Thank you, everybody.
All the best. Take care.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Be well, everyone.